London, England, nighttime. Hallmark Channel presents. Title card, The Royal Nanny. 3 weeks before Christmas, a man and woman walk through an outdoor Christmas market. Woman.
Children must be so excited for Christmas.
Man.
They are. Abby and I were really hoping you would come for Christmas dinner.
The kids are dying to see you.
Rachel Scarston.
I appreciate the offer and I would love
to. Dan Janot.
I'm on duty. If anything changes, I'll let you know.
Courier is entering the market.
A courier carries a package through the market.
Got him.
Music by Christopher Guglick. Edited by Paul Whitehead. The package is given to a woman at His Majesty's Christmas charity kiosk.
They're using the charity as a cash drop.
Director of Photography, Russ Guzzi, CSC. Executive Producers, Borga Dorder, Michael McLaughlin.
Stay with the courier.
Producers Hubert Toynt, Jennifer Ritter. The Woman Wears an Earpiece.
Packaging on move.
Produced by Agnes Bristow.
30 seconds.
I split up.
Written by Brooke Durham.
I'll take the van, I'll take the package.
Executive Producer Leif Bristow. Directed by Jonathan Wright.
Subject is approaching Oxford.
The woman with the earpiece follows the woman with the package.
She dropped the package. I need an answer.
Arrest authority granted.
Confirmed.
The first woman picks up the package.
Security service! Stop!
The second woman runs. She's blocked by a passing bus. The second woman has gotten away. A second security agent approaches her. Agent 2.
Excellent job, Officer Champion.
No, I lost her.
She won't get far. We're working on ODing her now.
Champion looks at the package.
Good work.
Agent 2 goes off. The second woman who dropped the package.
Perfect.
The bomb squad cleared the package.
Now the three security officers are in an office. A tiny object is removed from the eye of a teddy bear and put onto a slide and set under a microscope. It's a red microdot.
Old school tradecraft.
Agent 2.
It's a microdot. Nobody's used these since the Cold War.
Agent 1.
This is bad.
Champion.
As bad as it
gets. Now in a hallway, the three brief a third man. Champion.
Microdot contains security profiles for Kensington Palace. Schematics, names of security detail, alarm code, shift changes.
Agent 1.
Only someone on the inside could access this information.
Agent 2.
It presents an immediate threat to the royal family.
They watch a video.
Princess Rose, eldest daughter of His Majesty the King, first in line to the throne.
Princess Rose greets a man.
Prince Edward, husband to Princess Rose, father to Princess Elle and Prince Robert. Second and third in line to the throne, respectively.
Elle and Robert join them.
Prince Colin, younger brother to Princess Rose, fourth in line to the throne. Colin does not reside at Kensington. However, he visits frequently and oversees His Majesty's Christmas charity on behalf.
Agent 3.
The threat and the charity are somehow connected. I'm declaring this crisis top secret. We need our own people in Kensington ASAP.
There are two immediate openings in the staff we can take advantage of. There's Protection Officer and Royal Nanny.
Royal Nanny? You're suggesting an undercover?
An undercover will provide an extra layer of protection for the royals and serve as an intelligence source to identify the security breach.
The family will be outraged if this gets out. They'll claim we were spying on them.
Better outraged than the alternative. So.
Officer Champion, you'll go undercover as the Royal Nanny. Officer Wallace, you'll be added to the palace security detail to accompany and assist.
Yes, sir.
With all due respect, sir, I do not think I'm the best fit for this assignment.
Explain yourself.
I grew up in a children's home. I was never adopted. I never had a family of my own. I don't know the first thing about looking after children. I barely had a childhood of my own. Posing as a nanny in such a high-profile environment seems like a non-starter.
Given the urgency of the situation, you are the only one who can do it. Need I remind you of the oath you took to serve king and country?
No, sir. I'll do my best.
Good. I'll place a phone call to the headmistress of Devonshire Academy to assist with your cover.
Can she be trusted?
Absolutely. Miss Lansbury is one of our most valued assets.
Champion and Wallace look at each other. Now at the academy. Wallace.
Devonshire Academy.
Walks with Champion.
Founded in 1902. In their 120 years of proud history, they have trained thousands of the best, most respected nannies in the world. Current headmaster, Miss Juliet Lansbury, has personally handpicked the caretakers of the royal children for the last 30 years.
Champion.
Right. Let's swap. You go standing training and I'll work security detail.
Not on your life.
But you're qualified. You have kids. I don't even know if I want kids or if I like them.
Abby holds the front line with the kids. I'm only backup.
You make it sound like unfair.
It is. Play nice. Try and make friends.
Why do you think they call Miss Lansbury Scary Poppins?
I have no idea. But I suspect you'll find out soon enough.
Now Champion waits in a festively decorated office. Miss Lansbury enters.
Miss Champion.
Champion.
Oh, you startled me.
Lansbury.
I startled everyone, apparently. Scary Poppins.
She comes around behind her desk.
Miss Lansbury, save the pleasantries. I was read in by D.G. Taylor.
Right.
It takes 4 years of concentrated study and a year's service as a probationary nanny for me to even consider placing someone in a royal household.
We have 24 hours.
Lansbury sits down.
Do you have any childcare skills?
No.
Do you have younger siblings?
No.
Do you have friends with children?
Oh, my partner has kids.
Romantic partner?
Work partner.
And do you ever sit for these children?
No, but I was a child myself once.
Miss Lansbury stands.
To be a successful nanny, one must be passionate about children.
She puts on her coat.
This is just not a teachable skill. I'm afraid there's simply nothing I can do for you. Good day.
Miss Lansbury.
Champion follows her out.
I have no doubt you are the best of the best in your field, but I too am the best of the best in my field, and for better or for worse, I might be the only thing standing in the way of the immediate threat to the future of the British Empire. I swore an oath to...
They stop walking.
...to protect king and country. An oath I am willing to give my life for, but I need your help to keep that oath in service to the crown.
You're very direct, sincere, and uncomplicated. All admirable qualities. The only way you have the slightest chance of becoming passable as a nanny in the time that we have is for me to personally oversee your training. Chop, chop. Come on then.
Next, Champion is fitted with nanny attire.
A nanny is well-groomed, organized, efficient, but flexible. She always smiles, always remains calm, always nurtures with love.
Now Champion subdues an assailant.
She is properly prepared for any situation, and Nanny will do whatever is necessary to stop an attack on her charge. Threats come in all shapes and sizes. Your response must be measured promptly and balanced.
Lansbury holds up an umbrella.
This is the perfect protection. You see, it does not draw attention, it does not provoke, and yet it increases the range and power you have against even the strongest.
She opens the umbrella.
The canopy acts as a distraction and a shield against the foe.
He attacks and is knocked to the ground by the open umbrella.
And it buys you those precious seconds.
She closes it.
To measure your response. Every nanny likes to plan for rain. Might even save your life.
She knocks him down again.
The life of your charge.
Did you spend time in security service?
Oh, that's classified.
Back in the office. Lansbury.
Let common sense be your guide. At the end of the day, a nanny allows children to be children because she knows in her heart love always triumphs in the end.
Champion.
Do you really believe that? About love?
I must do. I wrote it.
Page 84, third paragraph.
Champion closes a thick book titled The Nanny Book, written by Juliet Lansbury.
Well done. Given adequate time, I could have made an excellent nanny out of you. Given just 24 hours, You're as prepared as I could ever have made you. I would like to escort you to Kensington and provide you with the proper introductions. This is probably going to be the undoing of my reputation. But if it allows you to protect the royal family from harm, so be it.
Now Kensington Palace, L.
I was thinking that I might be old enough to make do without a nanny.
Rose.
Really?
In a hallway.
What about you, Robert?
Robert.
Elle's right. I think we're both old enough to do without one.
Hmm, I see. Perhaps we could meet her anyway. Give her a chance? I'd hate to put someone out of a job, especially during the holidays. And who knows? She might surprise us. And maybe we'll even like her. Well, there's a thought. Come on.
The children enter the audience room where Champion and Lansbury await them. Rose.
How are you, Juliet?
Very well, Mum. Might I introduce Miss Carter?
So nice to meet you.
Champion.
Highness. Miss Carter comes highly recommended by me.
Welcome to the palace. These are my little darlings, Elle and Robert.
Your Highnesses.
Elle.
Pleased to meet you.
Shakes Champion's hand. Robert.
We look forward to thriving under your care.
Shakes her hand.
Claire, this is my assistant, Olivia. She's going to help you get settled.
Olivia.
Please, follow me. I'll escort you to your quarters.
Champion goes off with Olivia. Elle and Robert go with them. Rose to Lansbury.
Do you think this one will stick?
I think she'll prove to be the nanny you need right now.
Olivia to Champion.
I share this as a kindness. I'm pretty sure no one informed you, but the children are prone to mischief.
Champion.
What sort of mischief?
Pranks, mostly. More often than not. They're harmless. Some of them have sent a nanny or two packing.
Well, I assure you I'm no shrinking violet.
They all say that at first. Here you are.
Thank you.
Champion enters her suite. She looks around her lavishly decorated quarters. Then she speaks into a communication device hidden in her purse.
I'm inside.
Welcome back. Any red flags?
No, so far so good. But I'll be in touch.
She puts the device back into her purse and begins to inspect the room. She looks in a drawer on her writing desk. She opens the lid and a snake pops out. Unflinching, she catches it in midair. She sets the snake aside. Next, she checks her pillows. Then the bathroom sink. A coin has been taped over the aerator on the faucet.
Hello.
She removes it. Now carrying a wastebasket, she opens the door where the children are eavesdropping outside. Champion.
I am so glad you're both here. I believe you left a few things behind.
She gives them the wastebasket, then closes the door. Robert.
She's a tricky one.
Elle.
We're going to need reinforcements.
Now the main hall. Colin enters.
Uncle Colin!
The children run to greet him. Colin.
What's the emergency?
Elle.
It's the new nanny.
Another one. Well, what's she done?
Robert.
She foiled every one of our welcome pranks.
So, she's a bit tougher than the others, is she? Well, I suppose we'll just have to come up with something absolutely foolproof, won't we?
Now in the hall outside the nanny's room, Colin places a tub of spaghetti on top of the door.
The old
Colin.
Bucket on the door trick, it never fails.
Champion approaches.
Hello there.
She curtsies.
Your Highness, I'm Miss Carter, the new nanny.
Oh.
Colin looks her over.
Hello.
He shakes her hand.
Welcome. The children are quite eager for me to meet you.
Oh, well, it's lovely of you to make the time.
I think you'll find I'm quite fond of my niece and nephew, and I take great interest in anyone charged with their care.
As you should be.
Children, let's leave to allow Miss Carter to settle in.
Aren't you forgetting something?
What's that?
She pushes the door open and the pasta is dumped all over Colin. He pulls some noodles from his hair.
Well played.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Colin goes off. Champion goes into her room. Later, the audience room. Rose.
How are you getting on?
Champion.
The children went out of their way to make me feel welcome.
Really? Mm. I love my children with all my heart, but they can be spirited, to say the least.
No, I found them
absolutely delightful.
Oh, I don't think
Colin and the children are listening.
Alas, have a good evening.
Champion curtsies. She exits past Colin and the children.
There we all are.
They enter the audience room.
What have you done to yourself?
There's a noodle on Colin's shoulder.
Our cooking lesson got a bit out of hand.
Oh, really? So, how do we like Claire so far?
Elle.
It's too soon to tell if we like her just yet.
Robert.
But we don't dislike her.
Colin.
She's clever. Too clever.
Wow. At least that's the start. This could be a Christmas miracle.
Later that night, the flat of the charity kiosk woman. She receives a text. Get out now, all caps. She puts a folder into a bag. Then she climbs out a window.
Service, open the door. We know you're in there. Open the door. Ready for squeeze.
Security bursts into the room, but she's gone. Agent 2.
All clear. Yes,
two more security officers enter. Agent 2 looks at a wall. Pinned on the wall, an array of photos of the royal family.
The threat is not only credible, it's already set in motion.
Later, Kensington Palace, morning. A dining room. Rose enters.
My darlings, I hate to be the bearer of bad news this morning, but...
The children are breakfasting, ready for school. Rose sits.
Father won't be home for Christmas.
Robert.
We need him more than the Royal Air Force.
He'll be home after the New Year, and we can celebrate Christmas with him then.
Elle.
But it won't be Christmas. It will be just another day.
I know. I'm so sorry, darling. I wish there was something I could do.
Champion looks on.
I got a school project I could use your help with, Mum.
I'd be delighted. When's it due?
End of the week. It should only take a few hours.
Let's schedule some time.
Olivia.
I'm sorry. I just don't see how it's possible, ma'am. We're overextended as it is, and then we'll be travelling.
We must be able to squeeze a few hours out of somewhere.
I'll look at the schedule, see if I can move something, but...
I'll just ask the tutor.
No, it's not that I don't want to help, Robert.
Champion.
Pardon the interruption, but a car is ready for us. Let's pick this up tonight, okay?
We have an engagement. We won't be home until late.
Champion takes the kids out to the car. Wallace and the driver wait to greet them. Champion.
I'm sorry to hear your father won't be here for Christmas. You know what it's like to miss one's family, especially around the holiday. This is Officer Wallace. He'll be our security for the next few weeks.
Wallace.
Good morning, children.
They get into the car without speaking. Wallace looks at Champion.
Off to a running start, I see.
This was not my doing. Well, it wasn't, I swear. Not entirely.
He looks at her bag.
Why the umbrella? There isn't a cloud in the sky.
She puts an arm around him.
Nanny always plans for
it. Now they arrive at the fancy private school. Ellen Robert get out of the car. Wallace.
Have a good day. We'll see you after
Wallace school. Gets an emergency security alert on his phone.
Vance needs us to come in.
They get back into the car. Now in a security interview room. Agent 2.
Amanda Young.
Interviews the courier.
You served together in the SAS. What are you planning?
Wallace and Champion watch through a two-way mirror.
We have Young in custody. And it will go easier on you if you give her up now. Put an end to it willingly.
The courier is silent. Now Agent 2 enters his office. Champion and Wallace await him.
Michael Ford and Amanda Young, both ex-military.
He puts a folder on his desk.
Young's been surveilling the princess and the children for some time. I can't be sure if we've delayed whatever it is that she's planning or hastened them.
Champion.
Do we have his phone?
Wallace.
He managed to ditch it before we took him into custody.
And do we have anything on the van driver?
Employed by the transport company, contracted with the Christmas charity.
Does Young work for the Christmas charity?
We're looking into it. It's staffed primarily by volunteers. There are very few people actually in their employ, and volunteer records were spotty at best.
Right. Let's retrace Ford's steps, see if we can't find his phone.
Now at the Christmas market. Champion wears a ball cap and dark glasses.
Have you
Wallace.
Met him yet?
Champion.
We've crossed.
They look at Colin at the market.
He was named England's most eligible bachelor by the Times.
Why do you know that?
Abby told me.
Champion looks over her shades at Wallace.
Doesn't every woman want to find their Prince Charming?
He's not so much for Prince Charming, more like a prince of pranks. Let's go find Ford's phone.
They approach a market attendant.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you have a lost and found?
Attendant.
We do. What did you lose?
I think I dropped my phone here yesterday.
Oh, we did have a phone that turned up.
The attendant picks up a box.
Is this it?
Oh my goodness, yes, thank you.
Champion snatches the phone. Wallace.
That could belong to anyone.
They walk away.
Yeah, it is, trust me.
How can you be so sure?
Elementary, my dear Wallace. I'm a criminal. I'm about to be taken into custody. I drop my phone in the Christmas lot, then come back to recover it or get it from the lost and found.
Later, the school waiting for the children. Wallace gets a message.
We're headed to Frogmore House.
Go to Frogmore.
Colin's residence. Has there been a change of plans?
Heightened security protocols. Delaying our travel orders until the last minute prevents leaks.
The children exit the school and get into the car. They give Wallace and Champion the silent treatment. Champion.
How was school today? Have either of you given any thought to what you want for Christmas? I bet you both love getting socks. Perhaps laundry soap, dental floss, shoelaces, bowling balls, a bag of tweezers, toenail clippings.
Robert.
A bag of toenail clippings?
Elle.
Ew. Who would possibly want a bag of toenail clippings for Christmas?
Well, I suspect absolutely no one anywhere who ever lived. I was just trying to get you both to break your vow of silence.
Well played. You're not like all the other nannies, are you?
I most certainly am not. And I intend to take that as a compliment you do not intend it to be.
Now they arrive at Frogmore. They get out of the car. A security officer greets them.
Hello, children. Welcome to Frogmore. I'm Pride, Colin, security man.
Thank you.
Colin opens the door.
Hi.
He hugs the children.
Good, come on in.
Colin.
Thank you, Nanny. You will not be needed for the rest of the afternoon.
Champion.
I'm on duty. I must remain with the children at all times.
There's no service you can provide my niece and nephew over the next few hours that I cannot perform diligently, and your presence will only impose upon our privacy.
I'm going to need to clear that with Princess Rose.
Oh, by all means, feel free. And after my sister has told you exactly what I've just told you, you can remain outside until we're finished. Nanny.
Colin goes back inside. Wallace.
I see you've made another fast friend among the royals.
That was my doing.
Later that night, Kensington Palace. In her room, Champion studies the photos of the royal family. She looks at the security alert on her phone. Champion.
Wallace, what's going on?
Something triggered the silent alarm in the kitchen.
Now in the kitchen, Rose is making a sandwich. Champion enters. Rose.
I'm afraid you've caught me. If it's not too much to ask, could we keep this between us?
Wallace bursts in.
Stand down. All clear. False alarm.
What's all this?
Someone triggered the silent alarm, Mom.
What silent alarm?
Heightened security measures were installed today.
Why was I not informed?
Miss Morgan should have briefed you.
Olivia.
Top of my list for the morning.
Champion.
I am so sorry. I think this is all my fault. I came down to make a snack and I must have set off the alarm.
What's your name, officer?
Wallace, ma'am.
Officer Wallace. From here on out, I wish to be briefed directly on matters of security. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am. I'll make sure of it. Oh, you wish to be briefed right now?
Yes, please.
Very well. We've been made aware of a credible threat against you and the children. We've responded with heightened security measures and additional security detail.
Should I be concerned? Is this threat more credible than most?
We take all threats against the Crown seriously. For now, allow us to do the worrying for you, ma'am. We are very good at our job, and we are well-trained. And we are dedicated to keeping you and your family safe.
Very well. Thank you, Wallace. I think we've had enough excitement for one evening. Everyone should make their way back to bed. Sweet dreams to all. Claire, stay behind, would you?
Oh, of course.
Hereafter referred to as Claire.
Thank you for covering. It means a lot.
It's my pleasure.
Cocoa?
Rose pours Claire some cocoa. Rose has actually been packing lunches for the children.
There we are.
Thank you.
Claire takes a sip.
It's delicious.
It's a family recipe, handed down from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. You'll come to find the palace is a special place to be at Christmas time. How are you getting on?
Well, I think... Why? What have you heard?
Oh, well, I'm not one to spread palace gossip. All I will say is you really seem to be holding your own.
Fair enough.
You know, I wish I could say the same. With Edward away and had to take on more than my fair share of royal duties. Add to that the state of heightened security. Admittedly, I'm struggling. Gosh, I feel so guilty even saying that out loud.
No.
I have so much help and so much to be grateful for. It troubles me when protocol dictates that I spend more time in the company of my loyal subjects than with my own children. Here I am trying to make up for it in the middle of the night with packed lunches. It's... I don't know. It's absurd, isn't it?
No. It's wonderful. As Miss Lansbury would say if she were here, your children just want to know that you are engaged and present in their lives. So if packed lunches is how you do that, then so be it.
Thank you. That does actually make me feel slightly less terrible. Cheers.
They clink mugs. Kensington, next morning. Rose.
I think we can make that work. Mm-hmm. Robert, we've managed to make time for me to help with your project on Thursday night.
They all walk through the palace.
We're working on scheduling a video call with Father.
Olivia.
I'm afraid it's a bit tricky. I keep running into military protocol restricting non-military use of the secure satellite during deployment.
Well, keep trying. I have faith in you.
Claire follows Rose and the children. They exit to the car where Wallace is waiting. Wallace opens the door. Hundreds of Christmas baubles fall out of the car. Wallace.
Who's responsible for this? I will get to the bottom of this if it's the last thing I do. This is Wallace. We need another vehicle ASAP.
L to Robert.
Did you do this on your own?
No, I thought maybe you did.
Claire leans into the kids conspiratorially. Claire approaches Wallace.
You for being a good sport.
How did you manage to put so many ornaments?
Well, Amalia is prepared for any situation.
Speaking of, when you served in the RAF, how difficult was it for you to schedule a video call with someone?
Difficult, not impossible. Requires a lot of legwork. Depends mostly on scheduling and available time on the secure satellite. And bending a rule or two.
Could you see about scheduling a call with the family and Edward?
I'll look into it.
The new car arrives. The kids get in the car. Next, a sitting room. Colin.
So, have you sacked that annoyingly clever new nanny yet?
Rose.
I'm afraid Claire may be with us for the duration.
What could possibly make you say that?
See for yourself.
Rose hands Colin a tablet. He watches the video of the bobble incident.
Who's responsible for this?
Outstanding. Well, the children have certainly outdone themselves.
It wasn't the children. It was Claire.
What? No, I don't believe that.
It's true. She made the effort to win them over. And it seems to have worked. They thought it was the funniest thing they'd ever seen.
She comes across as so prim and proper.
Well, there's clearly more to her than meets the eye. I know she's only been with us a short time, but I feel as if I can confide in her.
Are you sure that's wise? You have been wrong before. I'm only looking out for you.
I know you are. It's sweet. I can't quite explain why. Call it intuition, if you will, but something tells me Claire has all our best interests at heart.
Rose sips her tea, Colin eats a biscuit. Later in the audience room, Rose and Elle listen to Robert practice playing the violin. Rose.
Very good, Robert.
Elle.
It's getting better.
Claire.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I've managed a surprise, but we only have a few more minutes with the SCARE satellite.
Come here.
Claire hands them a phone. Robert joins the others on the couch.
Father!
Hello, my darlings. I'm told I'm missed at home.
Terribly.
Robert.
Where are you?
I'm not allowed to say. It's not important. Tell me everything that's going on at home.
Well, Robert's been practicing his violin. He's been working.
Claire to Olivia.
Let's give him a privacy, shall we?
Olivia.
You're overstepping your duties.
I was just trying to do something nice for the family. Us arranging a call was not as difficult as you made it out to be.
Rose, protocol exists to be followed.
We can't wait to see you.
Mm-hmm.
I miss you so much.
Later, Wallace and Claire are at the car. Claire.
Could you look into Olivia for me? See what you find. It's just something I don't trust about her.
Yeah. Rose and the children approach. Rose.
Thank you for the lovely surprise.
Claire.
I just pulled a few strings with Wallace's help.
Thank you, Wallace.
Wallace.
My pleasure, Mom.
We're so accustomed to things being asked of us. It's rare when someone presents us with such a selfless and thoughtful kindness. Have a good day.
Rose says goodbye to the children. Wallace gets a message. We've recovered the tracking data from Ford's cell.
All right. They found something on that phone.
Later, in a briefing room, Claire enlarges a photo of Young. Taylor.
Young used her access through the charity to get a little too close for comfort to the royals.
I need you to extend the scope of your watch to Prince Colin.
Claire.
Are we looking at him as a suspect or a target?
We must be open to any possibilities. History teaches us that even the best of men would commit unspeakable acts to sit upon the throne.
Wallace and Claire look at each other. Later, Claire and Miss Lansbury walk together in the Christmas market. Lansbury.
Consider me impressed. No, really. Princess Rose does nothing but sing your praises. Your instincts are very good. You just continue to follow.
Claire.
I could use your instincts in a delicate matter. Do you think Colin is capable of harming his family?
You think he's in on it? Don't waste your time. He adores his sister and he loves those children as if they were his own.
But even if it meant wearing the crown?
The crown is not something Colin aspires to.
Our prime suspect has gotten close to Colin and the charity, so I've been ordered to include him in my watch. The only problem is he's not my biggest fan. In fact, he's banned me from the residence when the children are visiting. Is there any way I can smooth things over? This lad is very pleased.
They stop walking.
If Colin is not involved, he might be a target. I can't protect him if I can't get near him.
In that case, I know exactly what you need to do.
Sometime later, Frogmore. Colin opens the front door to greet Claire and the kids.
Look who it is.
Colin.
Hello. Thank you, Nanny. Your services will not be required.
Claire.
I'm invoking the Lansbury Nanny protocol.
Price stands outside the door.
A Lansbury Nanny must always be within arm's reach of her children while on duty. If you interfere with performance of said duties, I will be forced to inform Miss Lansbury herself. And you will have to deal with her directly and in person.
Scary Poppins. As I was saying before you interrupted me, you're welcome to join us. However, your entry is conditional.
On what?
On proving that you can have fun.
Claire steps closer.
Challenge accepted.
Welcome to my home.
They enter. Now, Frogmore, a hallway. Now they enter a room ambitiously decorated for Christmas. Claire.
I love the Christmas decor.
Colin.
I keep it up year-round.
Robert.
Every day is Christmas at Uncle Colin's.
Are they being serious?
They're just teasing you.
It looks like Santa's workshop in here.
I think it's important that we be hands-on in our charity work. So we wrap as many of the gifts as we can ourselves.
I didn't know the children were involved in the charity.
It's their first year. They aren't exactly thrilled about it, but that's because they have yet to learn that hard work builds character.
At first glance, I didn't take you for a Christmas cheerleader.
No? Well, perhaps we're both worthy of a second glance.
Robert wants to tell Colin something. Colin bends and Robert whispers in his ear.
Maybe we can play. With her?
Yeah.
Really?
Elle.
Yeah. We really do need a fourth.
Sorry, a fourth for what?
Now in a sitting room, they play charades.
All right, Anne.
Elle acts out her charade. Claire.
Shoelaces. Doing your laces. You're dancing. Ice skating.
Yes.
Cullen.
Robert.
3, 2, 1, go.
Big Robert acts out his charade.
Strong, you're full of muscles. You're so strong, you're carrying a ho ho. Oh, your Father Christmas. Your Father Christmas. Yeah. Is that it? No, there's more. Sorry, no, you. Why are you yelling at me? Because I'm naughty. I've been naughty. Sorry. Is there more? Santa Claus is coming to town. It's got,
Naughty list.
Naughty list. Didn't I say that?
Now Claire acts out her charade.
And go.
Okay.
Giant nanny bag.
No, this is not your turn. Actually, help her.
Father Christmas.
Elle tries to guess.
Santa's sack.
Sack of toys. We should get a point for that.
We have to consult the judge.
The judge will allow it.
That makes us 2-0.
You better catch up.
You're quite competitive.
What?
You fit right in.
Now it's Robert's turn.
Oh.
Love flies. mistletoe.
Yes. Mistletoe. Well done.
High five with Robert.
That's game. We trounced you.
Oh.
The girls win.
Well, the children seem to have taken quite a liking to you. Not something that I've witnessed with previous nannies. And I admit, you do know how to have fun.
Thank you.
What do you say? Should we induct Claire into the Royal Fun Club?
The Royal Fun Club?
You're in the headquarters.
Okay.
It's a place where there's no royal protocol, only good fun and games.
It's a place where royal children can be children.
We need to have a proper ceremony.
Yes. Fetch me my sword.
Robert hands Colin a wooden sword.
Hugh? Please, take... Oh, my shield. Yes.
Robert hands Colin a cardboard shield.
Thank you. Please, take a knee. Ms. Carter, I dub thee Dame Carter.
Elle hangs a medal around Claire's neck.
Rise, Dame Carter, Order of the Royal Fun Club.
Thank you, one and all, thank you.
Claire bows. Now they wrap gifts.
How long have you been involved in the Christmas charity?
Since I was about Robert's age.
Well, I think it's a very worthwhile endeavor.
I'm glad you feel that way. How would you feel about volunteering for us tomorrow while the children are at school?
I'd love to.
Wonderful. Well done, Robert.
The next day, Claire arrives at the charity warehouse. Colin is speaking to a volunteer.
Great, thank you for putting those together. So you're going to bring those over to the...
He spots Claire getting out of the car.
To the van, just over there. Thank you.
The volunteer goes off. Colin greets Claire.
Hello again.
Claire.
Hello again. This is quite the operation.
Well, I'm glad you're impressed. Are you ready to get to work?
Absolutely. Can I ask you something?
Certainly.
They walk together.
Why do you put so much effort into a charity that, that you don't really have to.
Oh, I think what you're trying to say is, Colin, why don't you let the staff handle the day-to-day while you work on your polo game?
That, it's a tad more delicate than I was going to put it, but essentially, yes.
Well, I suppose it's selfish, really. Growing up as a royal, as I'm sure you can imagine, I was lavished with all sorts of extravagant gifts at Christmas time, and it didn't take long for the novelty to wear off. But through the charity, I've discovered that giving gifts brings me much more joy than any gift I've ever received, no matter how grand.
They stop as a car pulls up.
James Wilder, richest man in England. Trying to get him to donate is like trying to pull teeth from someone who has no teeth. James, welcome.
James, a besuited man approaches.
We start taking requests from children's houses.
They tour the facility.
I like to think of us as being in the business of Christmas wish.
James.
To call it a business would mean it was profitable.
The idea is to acquire a gift for each and every child who participates, so they have something to look forward to for the holidays, the exact thing they asked for.
Well, I feel my money would be better served elsewhere.
What can I do to convince you?
Claire.
I can tell you firsthand the difference a Christmas charity can make in a child's life.
Please, enlighten me.
I grew up in a children's home. Christmas charity was a constant we could rely on. It made Christmas special. It was something to look forward to despite not being able to spend it with our families.
I would rather establish programs to help the children overcome their circumstances than provide them with a luxury for one day.
I understand that, but a toy is not a luxury. It's a hope and joy. It reminds us that the world cares, and you can't assign a value to that in the ledger because it's priceless. The joy receiving a gift on Christmas Day can give a child, can empower them to take on even life's most difficult of circumstances.
Where did you find this ringer, Colin?
Claire is nanny to my niece and nephew.
You're the nanny?
Yes. What if you bought one toy for one child? See how it made you feel. If it brought you joy, maybe you could buy more next year. I will personally donate £100 if you agree to match my donation. How many children does £200 provide for?
That would secure gifts for four children.
Four? Four children who will have a much happier Christmas because of you. Come on, don't you believe that a genuine act of kindness around the holidays can fill a child's world with hope?
How many gifts short are you of making your quota?
Oh, roughly 1,000.
I'll cover what remains.
Thank you. Thank you, truly. This will make a tremendous difference in the lives of so many children.
It was a pleasure to meet you, Claire.
Pleasure was all mine, sir.
They shake his hand and he goes off. Excited, Claire puts her hands on Colin's shoulders.
Sorry.
I have been after him for ages. Yeah. And you know, I think he took sinister delight in turning me down year after year. I don't know how to thank you. You are not like the other nannies.
Claire smiles at Colin.
I need to get the children.
Yes, you should.
Right now.
Claire puts on her scarf.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Goodbye.
She goes off. Colin smiles. Now Claire and Wallace collect the children after school. They exit the school and approach the waiting car. Elle.
We were hoping you might take us Christmas shopping.
Robert.
We want to buy a gift for Mother. We'd like it to be a surprise.
Claire.
Absolutely. What were you thinking?
Now driving in the car. Wallace.
My main concern is being recognized by any royal watchers and causing a scene. Maybe you can shop for them.
Claire.
No, the point of this is that they want to do it themselves.
Elle.
Claire is right.
Robert.
We wanted to pick out a gift for her together.
They all stare at Wallace.
I'll call in the backup detail.
Now they arrive at the store to go shopping. They get out of the car. Wallace.
You have the store locked down for 30 minutes.
Claire.
Plenty of time.
Now inside the department store. Claire.
Do you have any idea what you want to get your mother?
Elle.
It's difficult to shop for her.
Robert.
She gets so many gifts all year round, not just for Christmas.
That's a tough one. What about getting your mum something you can experience together?
Does she like puzzles?
She does. She told us how much she enjoyed them when she was our age.
These will look like so much fun.
How about these marbles? These.
Robert tosses a bag of marbles up and down. Claire takes it and looks at it.
Now, since your mother seems to be the woman who has everything in regards to gifts...
Claire picks up a globe.
How about we get her the world and everything in it?
Brilliant. I love it.
I don't think we need it gift wrapped. Sort of professionals in that department. Come on.
Meanwhile, Amanda Young is in the vicinity. She speaks on her phone.
We want both children.
Outside the store, a woman and two burly men get out of a suspicious-looking vehicle. Amanda exits the store with her phone to her ear.
On my signal.
A van pulls up behind the car.
We're blocked in. Walk away. Walk
away. Claire and the kids exit the store. Claire ushers the children to the car. Wallace accompanies them. Next, the tree lighting ceremony at the Christmas market.
We welcome the Royal Highness to this year's Christmas tree lighting. 3, 2...
A tall tree is lit up. The royals stand around the tree. A photographer takes their picture. Claire looks on. Claire approaches Colin. Colin.
Hello again.
Claire.
Hello again.
I'm surprised to see you here tonight.
The children invited me.
It's a welcome surprise. Shall we?
Yes. Right.
Now they stand on a bridge overlooking a fountain.
Let's go make a Christmas wish.
Colin.
Christmas wishing fountain. Who needs a coin?
Me.
Colin hands out coins.
What?
He looks at Claire and Claire takes a coin. Rose.
My wish is to have Father home in time for Christmas.
Elle.
That's my wish too.
Robert.
Maybe if we all make the same wish, he'll have a better chance of coming true.
Well, in that case, I'll add mine to the chorus.
On the count of three.
Three. 2, 1, make a wish.
The royals and Wallace throw their coins into the fountain. Claire hangs on to hers.
Aren't you going to make your wish?
Yes.
Claire tosses her coin into the fountain.
What did you wish for?
Claire.
If I tell you, it might not come true.
Okay.
Now Rose walks with Colin. Rose.
You've gone from being dismissive to taking more than a passing interest in Claire.
Colin.
I take great interest in anyone charged with the care of my niece and nephew.
Do you like her?
Well, absolutely. Claire's proven to be wonderful with the children.
Claire and the kids follow behind.
I'm glad to see you've come around.
Now back at Kensington, the breakfast table. Rose.
I'm sorry to have to do this to you, Robert, but I won't be able to help your project tonight.
But you promised.
I know. I'm so sorry, darling. Grandfather needs Uncle Colin and I to fill in last minute. He still isn't feeling very well. It's rubbish, isn't it? I know.
Olivia.
All the travel arrangements have been made. You'll be flying out of Heathrow.
Thank you. But... we can still have fun before we go, though, can't we? How about a pancake? To go with the chocolate milk. Wash it down.
Rose holds out a plate of pancakes. Claire steps away to make a call. Claire.
Are we able to ground a flight leaving out of Heathrow this evening?
Agent 2.
Do I want to know why?
It's a matter of domestic security.
Only DG Taylor can give that order, but,
I'll put in the request.
Thank you.
Claire hangs up. Later that night, Kensington Palace, the living area. Claire and the kids play Ring the Reindeer.
Okay.
Claire wears antlers on her head. The kids wear weird glasses.
Yes!
Ooh!
and toss rings over the antlers.
Oh!
No.
Close.
Rose.
So this must be what they meant by reindeer games. Our plane was grounded with mechanical issues. Come along, Elle. As soon as I change, we will all work together on Robert's project.
Robert.
Come play with us first.
We have work to do.
Elle.
Please. Pretty please. Just one game.
Elle holds out a ring.
One game.
Rose takes it.
You have to be the reindeer.
Colin enters.
I think Claire is doing a terribly good job of being the reindeer. Hello again.
Hello again.
Let's all play.
Oh. Shall we?
Well, I do think that it's my sworn duty as a member of the Royal Fun Club.
They all play Ring the Reindeer.
Okay. Go!
Not even close.
Colin wears the antlers.
Beaming for my face.
Now Rose wears the antlers.
Yes!
Yeah, it's so good.
All of Christmas. Well, I stand corrected. I believe that my sister is the superior reindeer. I'm sure it's all good practice for wearing a crown one day.
Claire, you can take the rest of the evening off. Colin, would you care to join us?
No, I think I'll make my way home.
As you wish. Say goodnight, children.
Rose gets up.
Night.
Good night.
Night.
She goes off with the children.
Well, it seems we both unexpectedly have the evening off. If you're interested, I could give you a guided tour of the palace gardens. The Christmas displays, Christmas light displays, quite spectacular this time of year.
Yes, no, I'd like that, thank you.
Oh, good.
Now in the garden.
I grew up here.
Colin. You know?
Still feels like home.
Claire.
It's difficult for me to feel at home anywhere. Curse of being an orphan. Never really sure you're on solid footing no matter where you stand.
You were never adopted?
No.
I'm sorry, that must have been difficult.
No, it's all right. I didn't grow up in a Dickens novel. Everything turned out all right in the end.
It seems to me as though my sister is rapidly coming to treat you as if you're part of the family. The children as well. You know, I owe you an apology. Regrettably, our introduction was not my finest hour. My actions were childish, and you, quite rightfully, put me in my place.
Apology accepted.
They stop and look at each other.
I admit you did look absolutely ridiculous, covered in spaghetti, and I loved it. You're really good with the children. They look up to you. Have you given any thought to starting a family of your own?
I'd like to think my heart is open to it. Although I do have trouble trusting anyone from outside of the family.
You and I think, are like two sides of the same coin. Growing up without a family, I find it difficult to trust anyone other than myself.
Well, perhaps we might both be brave enough to take a chance on trusting each other.
Perhaps.
Colin and Claire are about to kiss.
Sir.
Price appears.
I need you to come with me immediately.
Why? What's happened?
C.G. Taylor of MI7 has requested a face-to-face to brief you on a security matter.
Right now?
Yes, sir.
Price. Does it have to be right now?
Yes, sir.
Colin turns back to Claire.
Claire, I'm sorry. Apparently I need to cut our outing short.
I completely understand.
Good night.
Colin goes off with Price.
Good night.
Now back at MI7 headquarters. The observation room. Claire.
Has there been a development in the case?
Wallace.
I don't have any more information than
you. Watch through a two-way mirror.
Your Highness, thank you again for coming in.
Colin is shown a photo. Security man 2.
Amanda Young.
Colin.
She volunteers for our charity.
Taylor is with them.
She poses an immediate threat to Princess Rose and the children. Possibly even yourself.
I've received countless security threats over the years.
Taylor.
Young has a military background and was in possession of the security protocols for Kensington.
Only someone within the trusted inner circle of the royal family could obtain this information, and she's been surveilling your sister and the children for quite some time.
Security man 2 lays out photos.
This isn't a security briefing, it's an interrogation.
It looks that way.
So they've been thoroughly vetted.
The vetting process only works if they've been convicted of a crime, not if they're planning one.
What more can you tell us?
She was a hard worker. She only joined our efforts this year. I honestly don't know anything else about this woman.
Perhaps you could take a step back from the charity this year, postpone the involvement of the children.
The charity does not function without my involvement. Stepping back is not an option. I will, however, yield to Rose in all matters concerning the children. Now, gentlemen.
They all stand.
My sincere hope is that you are both very good at your jobs, and this will be the last time we ever need to speak on this matter.
Your Highness.
Colin exits the room. Claire to Wallace.
I just don't believe Colin is capable of doing anything to put a family in danger.
Don't fall prey to the royal's charms. I need you to remain professionally dispassionate on this assignment. You must be willing to go where the evidence leads you.
Yes, sir.
Taylor goes off to Security Man 2.
Can we use Ford's mobile device to map his route to the charity drop? Maybe catch him on CCTV.
Take some time, but yes. What exactly are we looking for?
And find out where that package he was carrying came from.
Now back at Kensington, a sitting room. Colin.
Perhaps it would be best if you and the children kept a low profile. Until the threat is contained. Cancel the Christmas party.
Rose.
Nonsense. I won't hear of it. I want my children to have a somewhat normal existence. And I refuse to allow our lives to be guided by fear.
Price, what's your professional opinion?
Price.
I assure you, sir, with the heightened security protocols, the palace is the most secure place in the country at this moment.
Good. Hear that? Good. I'll consider the matter settled.
Sometime later, the Christmas party, well-heeled guests arrive. Rose chats with Olivia. Elle and Robert are at the snack table. Robert has a handful of snacks. Elle.
Are you trying to collect them all?
Robert.
I want to sample one of everything to see what I like best.
The kids load up on snacks.
Thank you. Ooh, yum.
Colin beckons the children from behind a curtain. Claire points him out.
Look.
Come here.
They go to Colin. Claire.
What are you doing out here?
Colin.
To be honest, this is my least favorite part of the charity business, being in the spotlight. I would much rather spend the evening with all of you.
Well, perhaps we could all go down together.
No, no. Save yourselves. My fate is inevitable. I just wanted to say hello before the evening got started.
Hello.
Rose appears.
What's all this? This is your party, Colin. You need to actually attend?
On one condition. I would like Claire to attend as well, as my guest.
Lovely.
I'm all for it. That is very nice. But what about the children?
I'll call on the night nanny a little early.
Okay.
I'm happy to lend you a gown if you need it.
Thank you. But I think I might have something for just such an occasion.
Splendid. You know, I must confess, all our lives do seem to be a bit brighter with you in it. I'm grateful.
All right, let's go.
Claire and the kids head back inside. Rose takes Colin's arm.
Chin up. Off we pop.
They head back inside as well. A little later, the Christmas party. The musicians play. The well-heeled guests dance.
Thank you.
Rose and Colin are photographed. They greet guests.
Your Highness, good evening. Your Highness.
Thank you for coming. How have you been, madam? Thank you.
Meanwhile, in her room, Claire is getting ready for the party. She puts on lipstick. She holds a garment bag up in front of the mirror. Now Claire arrives at the party wearing a long red ball gown. Her usually tightly gathered blonde hair hangs loose around her shoulders. Claire scans the room. Colin notices her. Colin to a guest.
Excuse me.
He crosses the room to Claire. Colin.
You look stunning as always.
Claire.
You've hardly seen me in anything but my uniform.
I stand by my statement.
Colin offers his arm. Claire takes it and they move among the guests. Olivia and Rose look on. Colin greets more guests.
Hello, thank you for coming.
Claire does as well.
Hello.
Good to see you. This is Claire.
Hello.
Lovely to meet you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
Lovely evening. Good to see you. May I have a word?
Colin goes off with the man.
Thank you. Yes, of course. No, I'm quite...
Miss Lansbury appears.
I thought I might find you here tonight.
You seem to be getting on better than I could have expected.
Claire.
Being with the children has brought out something in me I didn't even know was there. You see, I was the older kid, always looking after and protecting the younger children at the children's home. Perhaps that's why I went to the line of work that I did.
You may be lying about what you do, but you're not lying about who you are.
Thank you.
Colin returns.
Merry Christmas, Miss Lansbury.
Merry Christmas, dear boy.
She takes his hands.
I need to thank you. You have sent us a true gift in Claire.
She has exceeded even my greatest expectations for her service.
As always, it's a pleasure to see you. Now, if you don't mind excusing us, there's something I need to show Claire.
By all means.
Claire takes Colin's arm and he leads her away. Claire.
Where are you taking me?
It's a surprise.
He brings her into a room where a tiny Christmas village is set up. There's a miniature skating rink with skaters upon it.
I've never been in this room before.
This is where I keep some of the presents so Robert and Elle don't find them before Christmas morning.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Every year I try to create a different display and then I give Robert and Elle a Christmas tree ornament. On Christmas Eve, we all gather together in the living room and put up all the decorations they've collected over the years. I've been doing it since they were born, so I suppose it's a family tradition now.
It's very thoughtful.
It's nothing much, just special memories from the year.
No, those are the things that matter the most. From the heart, they're timeless and priceless.
That's the idea. Rose would like the children to have a humble upbringing, and so I try to encourage them to appreciate the simple things.
He holds a toy soldier decoration.
And just to be grateful for having each other.
The love of a family is very special indeed. Blessed to have you.
Thank you for saying that. But truly, I am the lucky one.
Claire and Colin look at each other.
Should
we what?
Go to the ball.
The ball.
Right. We should go back to the ball.
Back to the ball, then. Right.
Claire heads out of the room. Olivia watches. She sends a text. We need to alter the game plan. There's been a development. Next, D.G. Taylor's office. Taylor.
We used the recovered phone to reverse engineer the courier's route to the charity kiosk.
They watch a video of Colin giving the wrapped gift to Ford.
The package containing the microdot originated from Colin?
Claire.
We can't assume Colin passed along the security info.
He would have access to it.
Wallace.
What does Ford have to say?
He's still not talking.
No, Colin is not the bad guy.
How can you be certain?
Because I've spent time with him. And believe me, I have spent time with some pretty unsavory characters in this line of work. And Colin stands above them all.
Would you trust him with your life?
I would, yes.
That would be a mistake. I warned you against falling prey to the Royals' charms.
Sir,
If you feel my integrity has been compromised, perhaps you should remove me from this case.
The only way through this is forward. You are still the best asset we have in the game. You've managed to get close to a family no outsider should be able to.
Claire looks at the image of Colin with the box. Now, 2 days before Christmas. Colin, Claire, and the children arrive outside the orphanage. Wallace escorts the kids inside. Claire looks at the children's home. Claire.
I grew up here.
Colin.
In this exact home?
Once I left, I never thought I'd be back. It's sort of like being visited by the ghost of Christmas past.
Oh. Well, that's awkward. Because I am the ghost of Christmas presents.
Okay.
They head inside.
Yep. Right.
Now the royals hand out gifts to kids seated on the floor.
Welcome.
That's very good. One more. Good. Okay, go ahead.
Colin.
All right, now, why don't we all open our gifts together on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. Happy Christmas!
The kids all tear open their gifts. Now Colin, Claire, L, Robert, and Wallace exit the building. They wave to the crowd. Amanda Young creeps behind some of the royals' admirers. Her cohorts move in. Claire spots Amanda and pulls out her umbrella.
Fall out!
She opens it, blocking her. She hooks it around her ankle, pulling her to the ground. The others grab Colin. Claire hurries the children into the car. Amanda's henchmen drag off Colin. With the children secured, their car speeds away. Claire.
Are you hurt? Are you injured?
She embraces and comforts Ellen Robert. Now, Kensington. Claire brings the children safely home. Rose runs toward them, arms outstretched. Claire.
Your Royal Highness, I feel it best to explain. My name is Claire Champion, not Carter. I'm with Security Service. We covered a credible threat against you and the children and deemed it best to place me here undercover as an added layer of protection for just such an occasion.
Rose.
Thank you for protecting my children. I'm sorry to tell you this, but they took Colin. What can be done to bring him home safely?
Taylor appears.
You are relieved of your assignment. I'll take it from here.
Sir, if it's all right, I'd like to stay here and see this through to the end.
You're relieved of the assignment. That's an order.
I'm sorry. Who exactly are you?
D.G. Taylor, am I sorry?
My first priority at this moment is tending to my children. The only person in this room I trust right now is Claire. Everyone else needs to leave immediately.
But we need to brief you on the situation.
Officer Champion will brief me on anything I need to be briefed on. Is that understood?
Yes, ma'am.
Taylor and his men retreat.
Ma'am, I promise you, I will do everything in my power to bring Colin home safely.
Rose reaches out to her.
I know you will.
A little later, outside the palace, Claire to Wallace.
I owe you one.
It's what we trained for. The day we hope never comes.
Something just doesn't fit, does it?
I don't follow.
Young knew who I was.
She recognized you from the market?
No, she called me by my real name, not my alias.
Only someone inside Tem's house could have given it to her.
Exactly.
Wallace gets a text.
Officer Price is missing after the exchange. Seems he was taken as well. Wallace needs us to come in immediately.
Now back at MI7. Agent 2.
We traced Prince Colin's secure phone. It led us right back here, where this package was delivered addressed to you. It's been cleared. It's safe to open. Prince Colin's secure phone is inside.
Claire opens the package. She answers Colin's ringing phone.
Officer Champion.
Colin.
Hello, Officer Champion.
Amanda holds the phone to Colin's ear.
Children are safe.
I thank you for that. These not-so-lovely people have a list of demands for my safe return.
I would tell them to bugger off. You'll find the list in a file on my phone.
I'm going to get you out of this. I promise.
Thank you, Claire.
Claire looks at the demands.
They want the courier Ford released, along with a drive containing 50 million credits.
Taylor.
I'll telephone the PM, see how he wants to proceed.
Shouldn't this be up to the family?
The family has no say in this whatsoever. This is a matter of state now.
Taylor goes off.
I don't like how Dale is handling this. There's something about it that doesn't fit.
Wallace.
You don't get to be the head of the security service by winning a popularity contest.
He gives Claire a report.
We caught a red flag on Olivia Morgan's financial records. Maybe connected, maybe not.
I knew there was something about her I didn't trust. Let's bring her in, see what she knows.
Mm-hmm. Now, in an interview room, Olivia awaits questioning.
Claire
enters. Claire.
Ms. Morgan, it's come to my attention that you had some financial difficulties that were recently resolved by a series of large cash transfers.
Claire presents the record.
Financial issues makes them a prime target for coercion from malevolent outside sources.
Olivia.
Are you saying you think I'm involved with Colin's abduction? You had access to all the security protocols. You had access to my itinerary the day of. The funds came from the mirror. What's happening with I was selling them gossip about the royal family. I'm not a kidnapper. They were particularly interested in a budding relationship between Prince Colin and the royal nanny. My role at the palace is classified. Any information you divulge going forward will be considered an act of treason punishable by 10 years in prison.
Rose places another piece of paper in front of Olivia.
What's this? A letter of termination from Princess Rose. Effective immediately.
Claire exits the room. Now Taylor speaks to the security team.
The PM has ordered a national emergency and convened COBRA. As of this moment, we've been ordered to stand down.
Claire.
Sir, the PM is making a grave mistake.
It's his mistake to make.
By the time the experts and the crisis planners and the politicians all get up to speed, it will be too late. Young has been one step ahead of us this entire time. It's as if someone in Thames House is behind this entire operation.
Your feelings for the prince are blinding you. The evidence is plausible enough to point to him as the mastermind behind this entire endeavor.
By getting himself kidnapped.
His plan to take the children failed. He improvised.
This is personal for you. Do you have something against him, against the family, against royals in general?
You are out of line, officer.
Look, sir, I am in line. Because you keep trying to take this piece of the puzzle that simply doesn't fit and force it into something.
You are suspended from active duty. Turn in your credentials and pray that I don't have you decommissioned.
Claire removes her security badge. She places it on the desk and exits the room. Christmas Eve. Claire sits beside Lansbury on a bench at the market. Claire.
I've been suspended. It's not the best way to begin Christmas. If an investigation hits a dead end, you have to go back to the beginning.
Lansbury.
That dead end.
Looks in her purse.
May not be as dead as you think.
She shows Claire a video on her phone.
Price is in on it.
Young and Ford served with him in the SAS.
I'm sorry.
A Devonshire nanny walks through the crowd recording with her phone.
I have eyes and ears everywhere.
Amanda passes with Price wearing a hood.
No.
She holds an envelope.
We shouldn't give this to him. There's not much going on in this city that I don't know about. My sources tell me Ford and Young, the former MI7.
How could we have missed that?
They were decommissioned, and their involvement in the security service was wiped off the record.
So they became ghost agents for off-book missions.
It's rather like something right out of the Christmas Carol, isn't it?
But Taylor must be behind it. Why?
The word is that the powers that be were cutting the MI7 funding, even considering absorbing it into a newly formed joint security service.
Create a national crisis, save the day. It does prove how essential you are.
Precisely. Now, I'm counting on you to bring my dear boy back home.
Your dear boy?
I was Colin's nanny back in the day. Well, who do you think gave me the nickname Scary Poppins? He's no longer a child, but one never stops looking out for the people one cares for.
Nighttime, wide shot of Tower Bridge. Claire walks through the deserted warehouse area. Claire gets in. Wallace and Agent 2 are inside. Agent 2.
This had better be good.
Claire.
Holland Security Detail Officer Price. He's not missing. He's in on it. If my sources are correct, Colin is inside.
Wallace.
I'd say that's pretty good.
Well, they're preparing to release Ford with the ransom, so...
We better be quick.
Agent 2 puts on a headset and then controls a drone. The drone flies over the warehouse. On the screen, they watch the thermal imagery. They see a man among the stacks.
Colin, it has to be. I bet my life on it.
What's the plan? Are you just going to go down the chimney? Like Santa Claus?
Shots of the glittering streets of London. A man enters the warehouse. Claire sneaks in behind him. Price.
We have to be smart about this and do it my way. Wait a minute.
No. Nothing like Christmas Eve takeaway.
The man brings Price and Amanda food. Claire sneaks into the warehouse.
Wonderful. Hungry.
Thank you.
She speaks into her earpiece.
I'm in.
Wallace.
There's somebody coming your way.
Umbrella in hand, Claire hides among the boxes. As he walks, one of the henchmen bites into his sandwich. Claire hooks her umbrella around his ankle and pulls him down. Nearby, Colin is tied to a computer chair. Claire taps another henchman on the shoulder with the umbrella. She bashes him in the face with the handle. Tied to the chair, Colin watches. Claire hooks her umbrella on the back of Colin's wheelchair and pulls him away. She's about to untie him. Claire.
Hello again.
Colin.
Hello again.
Do you trust me?
Was everything you told me about yourself true, or was it all a cover story?
No. I only lie to you about what I do, not who I am.
She unties him.
I trust you.
Stay behind me.
They move through the warehouse. Price discovers Colin's gone.
Where is he?
Amanda appears.
Where is he?
They start looking for him.
He can't be gone.
Claire pushes a stack of boxes over on Amanda. Price runs toward her. She empties a bag of marbles she had in her pocket onto the floor. Price trips on them, falling on his back. He tries to sit up. Claire pushes him down with the tip of the umbrella.
A Lansbury nanny always.
Wallace and Agent 2 appear.
All good, boys. I've got it.
Colin.
You are quite amazing. Mrs. Lansbury would be proud.
Now back at MI7 headquarters. They enter Taylor's office. Taylor sits at his desk. Taylor stands.
What's the meaning?
Agent 2.
It's over, sir. We know you were behind it all, attempting to frame Prince Colin. It might have worked had Officer Champion not protected the children.
Everything I did was for the good of the service. I had to prove that we are essential to the safety of the country. It was the only way.
That may be what you believe, but you can never do right by doing wrong.
You'll see. It's the job. Changes you.
I think it just makes you more of who you are.
Taylor is escorted out. Later, back at Kensington. Ellen Robert open gifts. Robert looks up.
Uncle Colin.
L.
I miss him too. No, Uncle Colin!
Colin is back. Rose, Elle, and Robert run to him.
Hi.
They all embrace.
See you. Oh, you're crushing me.
Claire enters.
Thank you.
Rose.
Bringing him home.
Claire.
It's my pleasure.
And you know, we actually brought home a straggler from the North Pole.
Edward in a Santa suit enters.
Ho, ho, ho. Happy Christmas, one and all.
He pulls down his beard.
Father! You're here!
They all embrace Edward. Colin to Claire.
How did you pull this off?
Your abduction triggered military. So Edward was relieved of active duty immediately.
It's a Christmas wish come true.
What did you wish for by the fountain?
To spend Christmas here with you and your family.
Rose answers her phone.
Hello? Yes, of course. Well, she's right here. Just a moment. For you.
Rose hands Claire her phone.
Claire Champion? Yes, your Majesty. No, I'd love to. No, absolutely. Thank you.
Claire hangs up.
The king just invited me to spend Christmas at Sandringham.
Well, that's highly unusual. Father's not usually one to invite non-family members. This is quite an unusual break in royal protocol.
Claire is family. And if my brother's as smart as he thinks he is, he'll make it official. Sooner than later.
The family goes over to the Christmas tree.
Yes!
Claire and Colin stand together. Colin.
Hello again.
Claire.
Hello again. I guess Mr. Lansbury was right. Love does triumph over all.
Claire and Colin kiss. A double door closes. Title card, Happy Christmas. Blackout.